Welcome, everyone. This is Richard Sachs. I'm the host on Lost Arts Radio, and this is Lost Arts Radio Live for August 10th of 2019. And it's a little bit unusual because this show is generally on Saturdays, but we had to do a little maneuvering because Doug is going to be tied up on Saturday, and he's at least as essential to the show as I am. So we thought we'd do it on Friday, and on all the different platforms that we're still on, that would allow us to post the live stream where we're allowed to do that. We're still being punished by Facebook for some undisclosed reason for the last 2 or 3 weeks. And so we're not live there, but if you see us on Facebook, it'll be on the archive. They're still letting us post there. And putting it up today was our option that we thought would work the best. The thing is, I have no idea what length this show will be because I had to fit it into my normally totally packed schedule. I've got notes of what I want to share with you guys, and it's going to be a little bit outside the box program, more than usual. And that was kind of inevitable, I guess, because, you know, Alex and other people like that have such complete, great news shows with 100 people assembling documented, you know, stories of all kinds. And there's no way that we can have anything like that in 1 hour a week. But 1 hour a week is the most that we can really have time to get ready for at this point. So it's going to merge into something other than obviously just a current event show, because if we spend all day, there's no way to review all the events happening. And anyway, I'm glad you're joining us, and it'll be interesting to see how this show turns out. So, oh, and also, Doug did bring to my attention, Doug Diamond, diamonddiscaudio.com, the engineer producer of our show, brought up the fact that as we've been doing this live show for quite a few weeks now, months actually, on many of the platforms there are questions that come up because there's running chats that go at the same time as we're talking. And normally we don't have time to deal with those because, people can communicate with each other in the chat, but we don't really have time to answer them specifically, because it's a one-hour program, and then 30 minutes later starts the meeting of the private group of Planetary Healing Club that anybody who wants to can get into. It's through planetaryhealingclub.com. It's where we get into the deeper issues that I'd get banned right away if I bring up on the public show, and also it's interactive and live, and it's for people that want to start working in themselves and their own lives to try to integrate some of the principles that we talk about, which is great. Anyway, because I'm getting ready for that, we don't usually have time for any responses to the great questions that may be brought up in the chat. But occasionally, when we have time, there's a number of options we're thinking about to enable us to do that, in case you guys have a response or a question about what we're talking about, things like that. And I would like to do that if there are questions or comments. So for a little while today, at the end of the broadcast, because it's on Friday and not Saturday, anybody that wants to pose a question or offer a comment or suggest a topic to look at or anything like that in the chat, when we're done with the basic things I wanted to share with you, we'll have Doug look at those, and I'll respond to them directly and see how that works. We have the option to do that today because it's Friday and the club meeting's not till tomorrow. It's an unusual schedule, so we'll see how that goes. But what I wanted to share with you for today, I did write some notes down, bullet points, and things that I wanted to not forget to talk about. And first of all, looking around at events in the world over the past week, which is where the show started out focusing, main thing is the chaos is just continuing. You don't hear the reality on the mainstream news at all. It's all twisted. But on the real independent shows, you've got polarization of people and groups fighting each other and war, you know, many situations on the brink of war, including the events in Kashmir and northern India that used to be part of India, and then it was taken away in 1949 under a UN orchestrated agreement, taking away a lot of India's territory, and now they're taking it back, and Pakistan leadership is upset, and China's involved, and it's hard to say what will happen on that. Anyway, a number of different situations around the world that could be on the edge of war, all being either totally ignored, or, like Kashmir, or misrepresented by the media so that You know, it won't affect their engineering of public opinion. And the censorship, not only that, but on social media is getting much worse. I mentioned that we're not allowed to live stream on Facebook right now. No reason given, nothing like that. They just cut us off. And I mean, can't imagine why. I never talk about anything controversial at all, but they were just mad at us for some reason. And anyway, so that's going on, and it's kind of ramping up. And it's hard to say how long we'll be on the major platforms, but you can always stay in touch with us at lostartsradio.com. And it would be a good idea, as soon as you can, now if possible, to go there and sign up on our mailing list, because we're not using it for anything right now. But we could, if we can't reach you with videos like these public platforms, and we need to embed a video or otherwise share information with you. And it's free, and you just need an email address where we can send information in the event that that comes up and becomes the only means of communication. So the censorship is going on. It's the poisoning of the world, you know, which some people really, everything's so polarized, you know. It's like the liberal, so-called liberal progressive people think they're really in touch with the environmental stuff, but then they fall right into the hoax of using it to take away all your rights, which is a complete misunderstanding of what to do in response to it. Like the nonsense of the Paris Climate Accord and the other ones like that, that appear to be reasonable on the surface, and they're something totally different than they appear. So, but the poisoning is real. The environmental emergencies are absolutely real. You know, my so-called conservative friends, many of them can't understand that. They think that all the environmental stuff is a hoax, and it's not at all. Rachel Carson wasn't just right; she was understated. I've been involved in organic agriculture and things related to that since the early 1960s, and it's not anything special. It's just normal agriculture. Growing food with poison is unbelievable that anybody would ever fall for that. Not just the pesticide, but the fertilizers and everything that contaminate the groundwater. So that's going on a massive scale. Nobody in Congress or the president or anything seems to understand anything about it. And the people who are involved in the whole Green New Deal thing, they don't understand that most of them are the liberal progressive type people, and they have no clue that that's suicide for the whole country and the world if anything like that were ever followed. And they're ready to do it right away. I mean, they don't understand anything about it except it sounds organic, so it must be great, right? And that's completely insane in the people following it, but in the people designing it, which is not AOC or anybody. It was written for them by people who do know what they're doing, and it's maliciously destructive. So that whole thing is going on, and then the 5G rollout is starting in some cities. There are commercials coming out that say it's not fast enough, and we just need 5G, you know, as soon as possible. And the president, who has no clue that it's bad for you, in my opinion, says, oh yeah, we need 6G right away. It's technological advance, so it must be great, right? And he has also supported Internet of Things, which is, you know, beyond horrible, and no way to really describe how bad it is. It's total surveillance, control, and enslavement, and the kind of complete control that Rosa Corey talked about in Behind the Green Mask. Really good video on YouTube that I recommend you guys watch if you can. It's kind of an introduction to Agenda 21, all this really evil stuff that's coming out of the United Nations, and that was in the early 90s. And it's moved along very far. So all that's going on, the whole GMO nonsense, which again the president has facilitated the easier rolling out of GMOs on a bigger scale, which are suicide not only for humans and animals, but the whole biosphere. And the people that say there's no environmental emergency, you know for a fact that they don't understand GMOs, unless they're saying that to lie on purpose, and most of them aren't. They really don't know. Just like the U.S. president doesn't know that just because something is a great company, well, he's finding it out now, but he's had a hard time understanding that just because there's a great company, if they're producing a toxic product that destroys the world, it really might not be that great. You know, I mean, these deeper understandings are mostly so simple. And the reason that they're missed by a lot of these guys in power positions, and women too, is that they're so educated in the fake education system right now that they have to make everything so complicated that you can't possibly understand it. And so they, instead of really learning, they memorize stuff, you know, safe and effective. You might have heard that somewhere. And they hear it a million times and they think they learned it. But that's not learning. That's memorizing. And they are not the same thing. And sometimes you do have to memorize things. And I remember when I was in beginning of elementary school a long time ago, and they wanted us to memorize the multiplication tables. You guys, younger people, may not have seen those. They're like a table used to be drawn on a piece of cardboard or paper, and across the top was 1 through 10 or 12 or something, and along the one edge was 1 through 12, and then a bunch of squares, a grid on that whole thing. And where they meet, like where 3 meets 4, it says 12, because 3 times 4, new math notwithstanding and Common Core and all that, is actually 12, 3 times 4. It happens to be the same as 4 times 3. And you can get, you know, into all these interesting mathematical patterns from there. But I when they said to memorize that, I don't know if it was second grade or what, and I just said, well, why do you want us to memorize that? How does that work? And that was not on the teacher's schedule to explain that. She got really upset. But she did explain it, so I said, okay, then I learned it. And I just wanted to learn it, not just memorize it. And I still have the same problem, that I want to understand how things work, not just because everybody else thinks it's true. That doesn't matter. It's everybody thinks it's true. It's highly questionable anyway to begin with. So fake education goes on turning into indoctrination and memorization that takes the place of learning. And a lot of it is like life attitudes now. It's not just basic tools for learning like math and reading and stuff like that. It's social values that are all being twisted intentionally, and people just go right along with it thinking, wow, they don't even think about it, most of them. They just absorb it. And that's an indicator that consciousness levels are not quite as high as they're supposed to be right now, which is a major reason that the world is in chaos. Same thing with the medical system, the healthcare system. It's the idea that, I mean, it's just, it's hurting and killing people all over the world. And combined with the censorship, pretty soon it's going to be illegal to even say that or question anything about it. And then, of course, the big event that we had this week in the U.S., we had 2 shootings, one in Texas and one in Ohio, and both by people connected to Antifa and left-wing terrorist-type people that they tried to make out to be the opposite, but then they had to finally admit, well, actually, they're not. But it doesn't matter. It's, again, the point that consciousness can degenerate to such a degree that you go around and shoot people that you don't even know. Now, some of this is thanks to drugs, okay, because almost every mass shooting, it's come out that these people are on psychiatric drugs, psychotropic drugs. And that should be a really serious issue. And there should be a questioning whether these drugs are actually that great. They're toxic chemicals, okay? They're known as medicine. But it doesn't matter what fancy name you put on them, they're poison. And they found that these particular poisons, chemical poisons, have an effect on the brain. So they thought, oh, great, this is going to be something that we can make millions or billions of dollars on when everybody is hooked on it, especially if they're really difficult to get off of safely, which most of them are. And also they'll cause all these other health problems because, after all, they're poison, right? We just call them medicine. And so when the other health problems come up, we can say, oh, well, don't worry, because that there's no connection. That just happened to you for no reason. And we're the medical system, and we have another poison, medicine, that you can take that's going to make it great. And then that medicine interacts with the poison in the first medicine, and you're addicted to killing yourself chemically. It's brilliant. It's a great business model. And one of the goals is to get everybody in the country, and most countries, addicted to as many of these so-called medicines as they can, because it's just going to be overwhelming amount of work for the system. And it also has the side benefit that when you're really messed up in your body and your bloodstream and your brain, you're not going to be much of a threat to the power structure at all, because you can't even think and you're not sure who anybody is and everything hurts in your body. And it's, you know, it's got so many advantages from the point of view of the top system. But this is continuing to go on, and it just got direct to consumer advertising in places like the US, where they show people dancing through a field of poppies and bluebirds flying around, and in small print on the button. These people are happy because they're taking whatever the drug is that they're selling. The big drug dealers, this is how really big drug dealers operate. And in the small print that you can barely read on the bottom, that sometimes somebody verbally reads so fast that you can't even tell what they're saying. And it says, it may stop your heart or prevent your brain from working or give you a stroke or heart attack or make it so you can't feel your feet anymore, or a few things like that. But don't worry, just ask your doctor if it's right for you. And then the bluebirds come in and everything is obviously great. And the people say, doctor, this drug must be right for me, because I need the dancing and the bluebirds and stuff. It's going to really be good. And the doctor says, well, I think we can arrange that. I mean, all this stuff is going on. This is what should be in the news. And fake science continues to support the whole thing. And it's not that most of the scientists are actually consciously bad. It's that they're not educated as exactly like they should be anymore. They're memorizing a bunch of stuff. And if they want to do research, they have to do the research that gets paid for. And most of that is to support what's being told to everybody in the fake education system, while the fake entertainment, programmed entertainment, starts people off as little kids believing what is going to fit in with the agenda that's being carried out on the in the world. And the UN program of breaking down sovereign countries with mass illegal immigration that's supposed to be called migration now, so that you'll forget about what it really is, and that it's victimizing even the people who participate in it. All this is going on at the same time. So it's a pretty serious situation, actually. And the question is, what is at the root of it? I mean, if you care about maybe changing it so it doesn't have to happen, the question is, what's at the root of it? There's different ways of describing what the drama is that's playing out. One is light against dark, light versus dark, good versus evil, right versus wrong, you know, not in a memorized sense, but like life versus death kind of thing, and a lot of other ways to describe it. But why is it even happening? And some of you guys that have listened to more of our Sunday shows and the Lost Arts Radio Live might remember that we talked about the difference between common and normal, right? And if you see everybody around you doing something, that's common, but you don't know that it's normal. It's just kind of assumed that it's normal. Like everyone walking around with their cell phone on their head, on their ear, right next to their brain, talking like, you know, of course it's fine. I mean, the government would have told us if it was dangerous or bad for you. All these conspiracy theorist people are just paranoid. There's nothing wrong with cell phone radiation. In fact, it probably doesn't even exist. It's probably good for your brain. That's common. Okay, I mean, there's millions of people walking around doing that. And they go places and men put them in their pockets, turned on, and women put them in their bras in their pockets. And they have no clue why that's not a brilliant idea, most of them. And so what's common is the way they're doing it. What's normal is to know, oh, this thing is like a radiation machine. I'm turning it off and then I can carry it. Or I'm leaving it somewhere in the car at home or somewhere I can get to it, but I'm not carrying that thing on my body. That would be a normal response. But I'm just saying there's a big difference between normal and common. So what are some other examples? I mean, I'm sure that all of you can think of many, right, in your everyday experience in the world. What are some that show normal and common? Let's see, I wrote down a couple of examples to share with you. One is that's really struck me since I was a little kid and still really has an emotional impact on me is that people are walking around, they're assuming that your life is really long, like when you're a little kid. You think it's going to take forever to get to be 30, even 20. I mean, I remember when I was in elementary school, walking home through this field, football field that belonged to a neighboring high school, because back then it was safe to have five-year-old kids walking anywhere alone. Nobody ever bothered us. And I met this kid who was really old. It was like double-digit age. He was like, I think, 13. And I couldn't believe anybody was really that old, but he looked okay. And parents' age, I couldn't even comprehend. But the reason I bring that up is that we think, you know, these people just get really old and of course they fall apart because they're so ancient. Well, actually, 100-year rough lifespan is nothing. It just goes by in a flash. And when you're on the other end of it, you think, wait a minute, I was just in high school and now I'm 80. How did that happen? That's the real time. It's not as long as you think. Regardless of what age you live to, when you get to the other end, it's like it was very quick. But the idea that you have to fall apart physically when you're so-called aging, that's a common belief, but it's not true and it's not normal. And yet we see very few people who are not subject to that. So it's something that people don't know about, but it's a difference between common and normal. Another obvious one that you might have thought of is growing food in the soil in poisonous chemicals, fertilizer that contaminate also the groundwater, and spraying additional poison on the food and then eating it because it doesn't wash off, okay? Plants, like humans, are very permeable. And when you spray poison on them, the poison sinks into the plant and the food part of the plant. That's common to grow food like that. And it's completely insane. I mean, it's not like organic food where you don't use any chemicals, but you take care of the soil so you don't need them. And the air feeds the soil, feeds the plant. You've heard of this thing called nature. That's how they designed it. That's how forests work without being fertilized. And it works really good on food plants too. But the common practice is to grow the food with poison and then to feed it to the people. And then the medical system does great in it. I think now in America alone, it's making about $3.5 trillion every year off the people who think it's normal to fall apart and get sick and age. And it's a big difference between normal and common. In fact, the idea that you have to get sick periodically is a common belief. You get sick, you go to the doctor, you eat what they call medicine, and then you wait to get better, and then you're okay for a while, and then it happens again. And once in a while, there's a terrible outbreak, like somebody gets measles, and that's when you're supposed to panic. You know, when people say, don't panic yet, well, that's when you do panic, because that could just end life on Earth. And people think that kind of sequence is normal, and it's not normal, it's just common. I can already see time's racing by and I haven't scratched the surface here. All kinds of things, you know. I'm sorry if I'm talking a little bit outside the box. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or anything. But there's so many beliefs we have that are common, but they're not normal. Like, they indicate no perception on our part. We've just kind of lost our normal direct perception of what's what. Pretending that murder is women's health freedom is one of these misconceptions. Believing that a country having borders is racist. Thinking people have to hate each other and fight with each other because of their color of their skin. I mean, how insane is that? Racism is really stupid. Or because of their gender or their age or their social class or their nationality or their religion. Why do you have to hate anybody? I'm not clear on why that's a requirement. And it's self-destructive. And people don't think it's self-destructive. They think, well, I'm just hating this person over there. That shouldn't hurt me at all. And they don't know there's a law of nature that whatever you project onto somebody else comes back to you multiplied, good or bad. So you really don't want to do that about hating anybody. And it's not a requirement. It's like if there's somebody doing something dangerous, self-defense is fine, normal, but you still don't have to hate them. It's bad for you to do that. And especially people in power positions think it's common, commonly think that it makes you better than others. Even in a city council, I've watched these people who sit about 6 feet higher than everybody else. And you can tell they're just really enjoying being royalty. And when you get your 3 minutes to speak, which I've done a few times at city hall meetings, they just text on their phones and talk to each other and pay no attention and say, next, you know, thank you so much for the public input of the peasants, you know, and now we'll tell you what we're going to do to you. They don't know about this law that I just mentioned, that what you do intentionally to somebody else or for them comes back to you multiplied, and it always works. So you really don't want to do bad things to other people once you learn about that. And we've all made horrible mistakes in our earlier lives, I think. But you don't have to keep doing it. You can actually stop and do something different, because if you go around doing, you know, good things for people, even without them knowing about it at all, that affects you immediately in a positive way. So another way of saying that law is like, what was it, his uncle in the first Spider-Man movie, who said there was, with great power comes great responsibility. And with any amount of power comes responsibility. It's not like a chance to misuse it, or it shouldn't be. That wouldn't be smart. And then, you know, underlying everything, we believe that we have to carry around fear and hate and worry and tension and desperation. And, you know, that's why drugs are popular, because the definition of a drug in the wide sense is anything that makes you unaware of what's bothering you. So think of the drugs that you're using. And there's another approach where you don't need the drugs, and it's called becoming conscious, but it's not as popular. So, you know, everybody thinks you have to use some kind of a drug at the end of the week of a job that you hate. You have to get drunk or, you know, whatever, just so you forget about what you feel about your life. But there are other ways to do it. And if we have beliefs like this stuff, then we get cut off from who we really are. And it reflects in what happens in the world around us. And that's a concept that's not common. You know, you might think that you don't have any effect on anything on the outside. That's not true. You have so much effect, you can't believe it, can't imagine it. So, and the thing about belief is interesting too, because what you think you believe is not necessarily what you believe on a much deeper level. Like, you might have a philosophy or a religion that gives you a list of things that you believe, and you've memorized them so well you can just tell people, yeah, that's what I believe. But say you believe that everybody is, you know, God is taking care of you, things like that, everybody's good and everything's going to work out great, but you're carrying around fear all the time. What's your real belief? Your real belief is that something really bad's going to happen, and it's about to happen any second. And the memorized beliefs don't have the power to control your life, but the powerful ones are the ones you feel in a gut emotional level, and they may be exactly opposite to what you consciously think you believe. There's a reason I'm getting into this stuff, because what we started out talking about was the world situation, and what I'm getting at here, trying to get to, if we have time, is that there are things you can do that will positively impact the world situation, even though it looks like it's beyond your reach. It's not. And we're supposed to think that it is. And I'm not saying not to go out and, you know, work against, I don't know, nuclear power and chemtrails, geoengineering, or poisoned agriculture, whatever. You can still do whatever physical good things you feel like you want to do. But what you're doing internally with your thought and emotional patterns while you're doing the outside activity determines what happens on the outside. And this is really not a common understanding. And it's not just political or activist activity. It's like interacting with your family, with people at work, you know, cleaning a bathroom, digging a ditch, going to school. Those are the outer shell of the activity that you have to do as well as you can. But what you're doing and how you feel while you're doing that stuff, what you're projecting to everybody that you're interacting with, that's really what determines everything. And you find that your life goes the way of your real beliefs. So if you carry around chaos and fear on the inside, then it affects how people around you act, even though it looks like there's no connection. And how the events go, it's a secret that you're never supposed to find out, because it can be used just as easily for good, and that would really mess up the agenda of our rulers for you to know that. You have the power, this massive power, if you change internal attitude of spreading sanity and healing and wisdom and peace in the world, and it would change everything. So you have all this power. So even, you know, an illustration of how this works is that sometimes people working for a really good cause will finish a talk about something, obviously a good cause, and they'll go away and they'll leave, you know, the arguing and fighting between factions and chaos and personalities against each other. Why, if what they talked about was really good, why does that happen? And really it's because what they feel underneath while they're talking about the good cause is powerful, even if it's not conscious. And they have a lot of negative feeling about the people who disagree with them and stuff like that. And the words become like a carrier wave, in electronic terms, for energy inside, and gets in the way of this great power that you have that could be helping to heal the world if it became free and conscious. So, you know, the basic idea is the fear and the hate and the worry and condemning others, if it goes away, then it can allow who you really are to come through for the first time. And that's a pretty amazing experience that just gets better and better and better. And you can inspire other people, even if you say nothing, just by being there, because of the energy emanation that's coming out of your physical body. And every living organism is radiating some kind of energy, and it really changes with thoughts and emotions. And if it's chaotic and unconscious, then it doesn't do much, but that's not the only way it can be. So there's another belief that's really common that I mentioned, and that's that you're just one out of 7 billion people or more than that, not able to affect the world at all, just small and limited and unable to do anything really. You need scientific experts that they call technocrats to know how to live your life. Like the ones that tell you, well, make sure not to breathe out because you're contributing to world disaster because of CO2 that's going to destroy the world. When actually CO2 is food for plants, and it's been vastly higher than it is now and other times in long ago history. But anyway, because CO2 is so evil, you really have to constrict everything you're doing, you know, make your lifestyle much more frugal, stop driving your car unless you absolutely have to, don't have your heat and air conditioning on, don't use energy, austerity is the way that you save the earth, and concentrated living in these Agenda 21 type human settlements, they call them, they're really dense cities, where you leave most of the earth unpopulated, you don't have a car, you have total surveillance, you have fake food, eventually a brain chip, and the brain chip part of it is coming much closer now, thanks to companies like the one that Elon Musk has called Neuralink, where he plans to have kiosks like, you know, where you go to get your ears pierced or something in a mall, and you can go there to get your brain pierced. It's going to be great. And he said, you know, don't worry, it's not going to take over your brain and your thought patterns for quite a while. So there's really nothing to worry about. And it's funny, when he was giving that talk and explaining the rollout of the new fancy first version, when there's going to be a lot of other upgraded versions for sure, he was looking like a zombie and kind of gave the impression that he's already had the brain chip put in. all that belief system that that's the direction that it has to go in is like this elaborate hoax, hoping that you won't ever get your common sense back, which is very powerful if you can access. It's like in the Matrix movie, especially the first one. It was a complex of programs, but they're not you. I mean, in the Matrix, they describe some of the people as being programs, but in the real life situation, you're not the programs. They're not you. And just a couple of words about what they are then, which is the immediate question. And for that, you have to understand what mind is. And I know I'm going farther outside the box here. I'm sorry. And, you know, if this seems too weird, feel free to shut it off. But the question really at the base of this, and really the reason, again, for this discussion, is how do you help what's happening in the world? You know, do you do another petition? Do you protest outside some government office? Or, you know, like a lot of the crazy mobs in the U.S. and other places think now, you should just go beat up people, you know, ultimately shoot and kill people. And they think that's going to be great because they're fighting tyranny and everything. And they don't realize that they become the pawns of the rulers by doing that. It's not a positive thing to do. So what's the mind? It's not brain. You know, brain is part of your physical body. And it can't even function at all without mind. If mind's not there, if it's life is not in it, it's just part of the body, a piece of meat, basically, organ meat. But and there's some, as I said, some outside-the-box material here. It's okay to turn it off if you want to, but I'm going to go into it because for the people that can relate to it, it's important. And my motive with it is that I want to see things get better in the world before the agenda of the rulers is complete and life is exterminated. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, I spent many decades, I mean, 20 years in really specific study on what are the global rulers doing? What's the big agenda here? How do all the sub-agendas like the geoengineering and the toxic agriculture and food and everything, how do all the sub-agendas fit together in the bigger plan? And it's the doctrine of sacrifices we've talked about before. And the sacrificial animal is the biosphere, including the rulers. They intend to go with it. And that's why they don't get recognized very much. But mind is not physical, as we said. It's been with you a long time, longer than your body. And it's all from the original one source. It doesn't matter what you call that. People do call it God, but I'm not talking about the anthropomorphized God image of this extremely tall male figure with a long beard who's going to cut your head off if you don't obey because he loves you so much and send you into permanent torture. Not talking about that. I'm talking way beyond that, a source of consciousness that everything came from. It's pure spirit and incredible beauty and beyond description. But mind was needed because even though we came from that source, we needed an interface between us and the almost infinite information that defines the physical plane. And mind was what we projected to do that. But because it came from the same source as everything else, it's actually conscious, capable of communication. I'm sorry if this sounds too strange, but take it as entertainment if you want to. There's something more underneath. And it's been trying to communicate with you since before you were born, a long time before that, as has the body. And if you understand it, then you've got a doorway into solving some life issues and helping the world at the same time. So mind is projecting programs where all this chaos is coming from, just like in the Matrix, except it's specifically coming from mind, not brain, through brain, but it's mind is the source. And mind is conscious. So if you learn to communicate with it, then see, we have conscious and subconscious and unconscious sections from our point of view, but mind doesn't have that. It's all conscious to mind. So if mind becomes an ally, and I'm just going through this really fast, it's obviously a deeper subject, everything changes. If mind stops working to sabotage you, which it's doing now because it hasn't been recognized and worked with consciously, then you can cut through, you know, decades of therapy if you understand this. And it's like an abandoned child, and the parent is you. And if you've got a child that you ignored your whole life, the child's probably not very happy about it and gets really frustrated and starts projecting programs that can mess up your whole life and other people too. If you become aware of that issue and you go back and bring harmony into it, then that child happens to be really powerful. It needs direction. Doesn't bring them wisdom, but it brings information, access to information. And if you work with it in a way of creating harmony again, and you're sincere about it and you don't fake it, everything changes. But if you're like most of us, you've never even thought about what mind is or respected or understood it, cared about it, and never responded to it when it was trying to communicate with you. So it's become frustrated, and science, as it's degenerated into its current form in this age, thinks this is all complete nonsense. And it's fine if you think that. But there's a power that is hidden in the understanding of these things. And if you're brave, then you can explore it and acknowledge that abandoned child of mind and make peace with it and give it the parent that it wanted the whole time, and then it's not frustrated anymore. And it can do incredible things with you as long as you're the one leading. And you'd have an amazing new ally. And you don't do it by rebuking it like the old yogis did. Some of the ones in the Himalayas a long time ago when they had a long lifespan and they thought mind is the origin of all these terrible thoughts and emotions that are messing up my life, and they thought they had to fight and kill mind, and it didn't work. This works a lot better. And it's the same. I'm just touching on it. I mean, we could spend years on that topic, and the yogis did, but this is a little bit different slant on it. And it's the same with the body, more forbidden information that you're not supposed to know. You're supposed to think that the body is this complex anatomy, but it's certainly not conscious. There's no consciousness in it. It's just a piece of meat with blood flowing in it, basically, and that's not entirely accurate, to understate it. It's not as old as mind, but it's conscious. Every part of it's conscious. The whole thing is conscious as a unit. These consciousness units in the body all overlap. It's very complex, but they're all focused on the person living in the body as like a fancy costume that you have that's also alive and conscious. And they're all focused on you. And you're not physical, but you're so tied into it that you feel like you are. All the nervous system is connected to the consciousness for the lifespan and things like that. It's got a different personality than mind. It's more stoic. Even if you abuse it, put poisonous food into it, which almost everybody's doing, and have emotions that just really tear it up, it still tries to help. It tries to heal and function in spite of constant neglect and abuse and ignorance. You know, if you remember, I'm trying to go fast now because we're close to wrapping up. And remember I talked about the three jars of water? I think I did it on the live show at some point. And this is a Japanese guy experimenting with three jars of water, and he had technicians focusing on these three jars, and in each one there was some rice. And it was just rotting in the water, right? Because he just left it there. But he had people focusing on that jar of rice in the water. One of them was saying, "I love you," and feeling it and meaning it with sincerity and focus. Not a wandering mind, say, "I love you," and "when is the coffee break?" And just really focused on the jar, feeling that. Another one was saying, "I hate you, you're horrible." And the third one, the person was just ignoring it completely. And the one that said, "I love you," when it aged, it kind of fermented and smelled kind of sweet, and there was nothing, no bad stuff that grew in it or anything. It was amazing. And the one that said, "I hate you," what had bad mold and it smelled like sulfur and everything. Just from the difference in thought and emotion really. And the last one that was ignored, it turned out the worst, and it turned really bad. and your body is mostly water with solid things in it. So when I talk about abuse of the body, it's not just physically eating garbage and, you know, drinking things that aren't good for you and smoking stuff and taking drugs and all that. It's also emotional states, because every one of your cells is immediately affected by that. This is going to tie into making a contribution to help the world, if I can talk fast enough to get through it here. So you give the body the lost parent back and realize that it's conscious. Every cell in it is conscious, self-aware. You can see that if you have any common sense left. If you look at a single living cell under a microscope, it's doing everything that a conscious being would do. It's resting and eating and reproducing and fighting and defending itself and traveling and exploring. And I mean, it's not dead. It's not this thing kind of automaton moving with no consciousness. In fact, there's nothing like that. But you're not supposed to have any idea about that either. So if you change what you feed your physical body and you give it all the right kinds of exercise that it needs and the sunlight exposure and grounding and sleep and everything, and you have a different emotional pattern, then every cell changes and there's this great energy that rises up, and you know, all possible healing within the damage that we've already done, a lot of it can be reversed and the healing starts happening. So integration of all these things is directly possible, can shortcut and eliminate the need for years of therapy. Mind can drop fear and all the other negative energies that you don't have to have. We are programmed to think, if this happens, this is how you have to feel. Otherwise, you're a bad person. That's completely made up. There's no use for fear that helps you with anything that I've ever seen. And you want to work with the body, and you can learn the laws of nature and reverse the aging, so-called aging process. And the idea that you have to get sick periodically it's saying that you're making a mistake. You know, the germs weren't designed to hurt you. And it's rarely genetic. I mean, genes are, and they can be reconfigured, and epigenetics is exposing how, yeah, you might have some theoretical susceptibility to something, but unless you give it the right or the wrong conditions to have that activated, you don't have to experience it. And all these programs and beliefs and things that tell us who we actually are, we're not any of those, and we never were. There's something pure that, it doesn't matter what name you give it. These names don't define things. But it's like pure spirit inside of everybody. And nobody else in the world is the programs either, even the bad guys. As long as you relate to who you are through those programs, all this stuff can't be resolved. And what they call in the Eastern traditions the karmic wheel and all that, that just keeps going. But that's embedded in the power of the programs and identifying with them. That's where the karma is located. That's what makes everything, you know, this rigid cause and effect type, constant reaction type thing. That, you don't have to be a slave to that forever. So even the worst bad guys think that they are the programs and they're playing roles of horrible people doing horrible things, but the actor is not the same as the character. So who are the actors? Well, are they evil or, you know, good and bad fighting each other? No, they're beyond that. They're all made out of complete consciousness, out of spirit, with amnesia, playing the role of these things. And they're all hooked on different kinds of programs and drugs. And the bad guys who are intending to destroy life on this planet are hooked on the drug of evil. And they've made the world kind of like an insane asylum. I mean, I think that's a nice thing to say about it compared to what it actually has become. And the question is, if you care about what's going on, you know, what's the point of a show about what's going on in the world? Just to hear about all these horrible things that are going on in the world, what isn't the point to try to do something to make it better? And wouldn't that give value to our brief time of existence on this plane? It seems to me it would. And if we could help avert the total destruction that is the plan, that is the plan of the top level rulers, not the ones you hear about, the ones at the top. That's in their scripts that they're reading and the roles they're playing. So to really affect that, you have to change your own awareness. You can't just skip that step and go, you know, do some physical action without the change in consciousness. You're not going to get the result that you're wanting. And but if you change your sense of who you are, not your belief, but your experience at a deeper level, then the resonance effect is really powerful. And that really is the only way that I've seen that we could have the full impact to help the world turn around right now. But you have to do it yourself first, completely. It's like reflexology, right? And we're working from the points in the feet to help organs in the body. And you're the reflex point to everything else happening in the outside world. So if you learn the principles of the body and what it needs, stop abusing it or poisoning it, this is all concurrent with working with mind and doing the physical things that you have to do all day, no matter what your jobs to do might be. And the resonance effect means that if you get really clear in yourself, even if you don't say a word, just by being there, you're going to affect everybody else. You don't need 10 PhDs or, you know, Nobel Prizes or anything. You just have to have the courage and the insight to be able to do this. And you can be the origin and the spread of this healing energy if you want to. If you want to, you're willing to do the work. And it starts to affect everybody else. You don't even have to tell them what you're doing. In fact, they probably would think you're crazy anyway. So if you just be quiet and actually do this, you'll notice some really unusual things happening. The behavior of people around you totally changes gradually. And you can help bring all these fighting factions and people together. You know, that some of the people that are fighting, you know, these good causes even, some of them are working really against Agenda 21, and they know what it is, they know what the Internet of Things is, and they know how critical property rights are for normal free countries to function, but they have no clue that, you know, there are real environmental emergencies that need to be dealt with as well, and life-friendly technologies have to replace ones that are destructive. That's not what they call rocket science. It's obvious, or it should be obvious. And so what I'm talking about is that these big things that we've thought are beyond our reach that we can't help, the opposite is true. You can only not make an impact on the world if you're not conscious. And conscious means not being able to list all the bad things going on in the world. It means self-aware. Not of your mind, but you, who is not your mind. Nobody else has to know that you're even looking at that, and you can continue all your outer normal tasks and everything. So even the bad guys are invited to do this, because they're the same underneath all their massive, horrible programming that's making them into monsters now. Underneath that, that's not who they are. And if you change yourself, it's going to affect them. Question is, are you brave enough to question assumptions that you've lived on and assume that define who you are? Are you brave enough to stop fighting and condemning everybody else? Which, if you look at your mind, you'll see that most of us do that constantly, thinking of everybody doing these bad things, except we don't turn that attention on ourselves. And are you brave enough to do that and to relate to any of this stuff? So everything that you have that you need to do that successfully is totally within you. You don't need a go-between. You don't need an expert. You don't need anything else. You've got a connection directly to where you originally came from that can never be broken, because it's the reality. You can become unaware of it, but it can't break. This illusion of separation that's at the base of so much horrible pain and suffering on this level, that can just make you cry if you let yourself be aware of it. All of it's a program. And internally, out of that program, there's no separation between anybody. And it's kind of a amazing different experience that you can start having if you want to. So to give, you can do it totally yourself, or you can do it with somebody else that has an idea that this isn't all nonsense about what we're talking about, that it's practical steps to change it in yourself. And for anybody that wants a supportive environment to do that in, and to hear a lot more details that we can't easily talk about on the public forums, Planetary Healing Club was started for that. If you're interested in that, planetaryhealingclub.com meets every week live, and I'm there to talk about this stuff in individual situations. And then I do a little bit of one-on-one private work with people who need that, but it's less expensive to just do the club, or it doesn't cost anything to just do it by yourself. I'm trying to give you some ideas about how you would do that, and it's all, everything's all totally in your hands. So any of those routes that help you, even if you just get the idea and then run with it yourself, you can take it further and then help the rest of us get there. But I think this unseen, unspoken about option is what, even now that the global rulers are so far along with destroying life on the planet, even now it could be reversed, because there's so much power, that healing power that you have had and has always been there. And so I figured, well, this is an off day show, or not our normal schedule. Let's just say a bunch of stuff that I would not normally get into, and see if everybody, you know, thinks it's completely off track and can't relate to it, or if it can have a positive impact on anybody. So I'm just sharing that. And then tomorrow night we have, or not tomorrow night, but Sunday night, we have Mark Steele, a major person in the movement against 5G from Northern England, joining us on Lost Arts Radio on all the major platforms. And remember, if we disappear off those, brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. Write it down or something so you won't forget. And Brighteon's a great new platform that's not censoring, so it's a good one to stay in touch with and use. Subscribestar, if anybody wants to help us actually keep on the air and do our work, and maybe eventually the more expensive project of the school that we'd like to build, then please donate money. We're not pushing any products, obviously, and I haven't figured out how in the world we're going to keep doing this or the bigger projects without money. And I don't want to do anything that is artificial or manipulative or pushing anything that, you know, to make you want something you don't want or anything like that. So the only thing that's bringing in money is donations on lostartsradio.com or lostartsresearchinstitute.org. Or the small dues that are in the Planetary Healing Club, or the money that I would get for private sessions, all goes to the Institute, and hopefully to keep us going and be able to build a school. Otherwise, watch for the videos during the week. We'll do those as often as we can. They're free and available for anybody. All the archives of the old shows are also available free of charge. And I think that's about it. So the only other thing is this idea that Doug had of reminding me, that I mentioned in the beginning, that possibly somebody who's watching this on one of the major platforms or any of the platforms that offer chat, besides talking to each other, might have a comment or a question that we wanted to address at the end of the broadcast. And the only way we could do that normally is if we switch from Saturday to Friday or something like that, because normally after an hour on this, we'd have to get ready right away for the Planetary Healing Club meeting, which you're, of course, invited to if you want to come. But today, since we're not on our normal day, we could do it if anybody has anything that they wanted to ask or share. So I'll ask Doug about that.
Yeah, we've had some good comments in chat, but no actual questions, so I think you're off the hook.
Okay, good. We get to go. So thanks for being with us. I really appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great week. And we'll probably be back on our normal time next week. And if not, we'll try to post and let you know. You can always find us in as an archive anyway. and get on the mailing list at lostartsradio.com, and we'll stay in touch whatever happens. So thanks for being here, and have a good week. We'll see you next time.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribe Star levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest news selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editor's picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.